chapter number 12. Revelation chapter 12. Keep this thing good and loud. All right. Brother Jamie preached, got me stirred on this thought line when he preached the other night on our adversary, the devil, going about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. I don't know if you realize it or not, but the devil wants to steal, kill, and destroy your life. And I don't think we're fully aware of a lot of his devices and the things that he uses to go after God's people. And so tonight I hope that we can bring some things to light. Maybe you hadn't thought about it a lot lately, but I want you to listen to the Word of God. You know, the devil, he, from way back when he tried to exalt himself above the stars of God and the throne of God, he's been an adversary. He's wicked. And he's one to be dealt with in our lives. So you listen to the Word of God tonight and let's see if we can get some help from it. And chapter 12, verse number 7, the Bible says, "And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels," talking about the devil, "and a third of the angelic host that sided with the devil. And they fought against Michael, who was fighting for God. And the Bible says in verse 8 that he prevailed not." Or he didn't win. He lost. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. The devil was cast out, as it says in the next verse. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. I want you to notice in that verse it says, he's the deceiver of the whole world. He has power to deceive. He's clever. He's subtle. And let me say this before I go any further. The devil, he'll not always come to you as something ugly. Amen? He knows exactly my weaknesses. He knows your weaknesses. He knows that we're flesh. He knows that we're prone to sin. And he knows exactly how to come after me and how to come after you. He is a deceiver. We need to be aware of his devices. It says he was cast out into the earth and his angels were cast out with him. He is present today. You don't have to look far to see his influence in the world. Look out in Texas, it's done been mentioned about this madman, this man that was no doubt possessed by the devil, goes into the church and just starts killing men, women, boys, babies, didn't matter. Somebody normal won't do that. It's got to be an influence and power of Satan that has taken over the mind and to just... You know, and it's more prevalent in our day than it's ever been before. The works of the devil, the wrath of Satan. And you can look out in Las Vegas. Madman that gets up in a window and just starts shooting people at random. We're living in a bad day. And we better realize that there is an adversary that wants to steal, to kill, and destroy. And let me tell you, he's doing a good job on his side this week, or last week and the weeks before. But listen, the Bible goes on, it says, "And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of His Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before God day and night. This is just to remind us that He is a defeated foe. But He's not gone to the place of His abyss, the place where He's headed. He's in this world today, and the only way that we'll overcome Him in verse 11, the Bible says they overcame Him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea. Listen to this now. For the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. You know, the devil's smart. He's smarter than you and I by a long shot. He realizes his time is short. But what's our mindset? Do we really realize that we're in the last days? That we're living in the days of apostasy? In the days of anarchy? Of people going just totally lawless and crazy? The devil has great wrath, and he's influencing many people in the day that we live. And you know, you think that the devil would love to just take lost people to hell with him, but he doesn't stop there. He wants to get a stronghold in churches. He wants to get a stronghold in Christians' homes and in Christians' lives, and he wants to take and destroy, to kill and destroy anything godly in this world. That's been what he's been doing since he was found back in the garden and deceived Eve. So I want you to notice some things tonight. I certainly don't have time to cover everything that the Word of God says about Satan, but I do want you to see a few things tonight that the Lord has brought to my mind about the devil tonight. He is the deceiver. And in these last days, he's working overtime. And, you know, if a person can't see that, then you got to be blind to the Word of God. He is working overtime in these days because he knows he has a short time. So I want us to see right here Satan's desire. Satan's desire, let me say first of all, he desires to be worshipped. You remember when Christ was tempted after Christ's baptism, he was led up on the mount. Satan tried to get Christ to bow down and worship him. He offered him the kingdoms of the world if you'll just bow down and worship me. Satan, he has things to offer to you and I today. If we'll forsake the things of God and turn to the things of the world, the things that he can offer you, it's a type of worship. Amen. He desires to be worshipped. And he desires to undo God's work. Amen. That's one of his main goals. Jesus came that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. But Satan has come to kill, to steal, and to destroy all the works of God and the things that God's people would do. He wants to stop it. He wants to undo it. In Job chapter number 2, you'll find that He came to a man that God said was perfect and upright, eschewed evil, and the devil wanted to destroy him. And you better believe that he's got his eyes set upon you tonight. If you're going to serve God, if you're going to try to do what's right, if you're going to stand against him and the evil that he has in this world today, he's going to try to turn you away from God. He told God there, Job chapter number 2, that if you'll just smite him, if you'll just take his health away from him, he'll curse you to your face. He was trying his best to turn Job away from God. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, the Bible says that we're not ignorant of his devices. But are we? Are we aware that we have an adversary? Are we aware that when we're tempted to do things that this flesh is prone to do, are we aware that it's the devil? Think about it. He's sly, he's subtle. And we better learn and we better know what his devices are and what he uses on me. What he uses on you to get you to turn, to get you to sin and forsake the ways of God. And 2 Corinthians chapter number 11. I want you to read this with me. In 2 Corinthians chapter number 11. This is an amazing thing right here in the day that we live. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Paul speaking right here. He says, "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ." Listen to this. "And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light." Can I tell you where you'll find some of Satan's workers at today? You'll find them in pulpits. You'll find them in the choir. You'll find them on deacon boards. You'll find them doing various different things in the name of religion. Not in the name of Christ, in the name of religion. "He's transformed himself into an angel of light that he might deceive the multitudes of people today." Some of the biggest churches you'll find in this country that never mention Christ, that never mention the blood, that never mention the way to heaven, you'll find multitudes of members that come in to get their ears tickled, to get entertained every time the doors are opened. Satan has taken over a lot of places with a steeple on it. "Therefore, it's no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works." There's a payday coming for him one day. But I want you to notice not only that. He's a deceiver. He is a disguiser. The Bible says he's the prince of demons. He's the ruler of darkness. He is the wicked one. He's a liar and the father of lies. He is a murderer. He's a thief. He's a destroyer. And listen to this. Turn with me again to Luke chapter number 22. In Luke chapter number 22, you ought to underline some of these things in your Bible. In Luke 22, I want you to know this. In verse number 2, he loves to possess people. You remember Legion? When Christ found Legion, he was called Legion because he was possessed by devils. And Legion was a madman. It's a wonder Legion hadn't killed himself, cutting himself, and the various things that he was doing in his life. In chapter 22, verse number 2 says, "And the chief priests and scribes sought how they might kill him," speaking of Christ, "for they feared the people." Notice verse 3. "Then entered Satan into Judas." Then entered Satan into Judas. Can I tell you what the Bible warns me and you about? The Bible warns us not to give place to the devil. Amen. Let me tell you, Anytime that you push God out, the devil will come in. You want to know what's wrong in America today? What's wrong in our school system today? When they took prayer out of school, when they took Bible reading out of school, it was pushing God out and giving place to the devil. Now it ain't like sticking chewing gum under the desk, the biggest problem, or a little fist fight out in the schoolyard by the boys, but it's something greater than that. They have to have armed guards in the schools now, metal detectors. There's so much going on in the world today, and if you give place to the devil, he'll take it, and wickedness and sin and sorrow is going to follow. Oh, listen, he loves to possess people. Don't give him a place in your life, in your home. There's a lot of things he'll present to you that the preacher won't ever know about. There's a lot of things he'll present to you that mom and daddy won't know about, or wife or husband won't know about. But he's got his eyes set on death and destruction and destroying homes. No, listen to me. He's done a good job at tearing down families, breaking up homes in this old world today, breaking up marriages, breaking kids' hearts, mama's hearts and daddy's hearts. He's working hard today, doing his job, because he knows that he has but a short time left. He blinds people. Look at this. Now, I want you to see this in 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. In 2 Corinthians chapter number 4, notice what your Bible says right here. In verse 3 it says, "But if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world," you notice that's God with a little g, speaking of Satan, "the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." Listen, you ought to thank God every day that when you was living your life in darkness, when you were lost and undone, when you were blinded, when you were an unbeliever, that the God of heaven, the God of light, shined the light of the glorious gospel in your darkened heart and brought you to an awareness of being lost and headed towards the devil's hell, and gave you the desire to be saved. The devil has got so many people blinded today in unbelief. And this is one of the greatest dangers in this world today, is unbelief. And don't let him blind you. You better be aware of his devices. And this, I want you to notice this in 1 Timothy chapter number 3. You know, Satan, he likes a big target. Amen? Anybody that is doing a work for God, you better beware, because Satan is going to make a target out of you. He's going to come after you. This is a warfare. Paul likened us as to soldiers, and he tells us there's a warfare to be fought against the rulers of the darkness of this world. And in 1 Timothy chapter number 3, you'll find something right here about preachers or pastors and deacons. There's a verse in here that we better take notice of. And he says right here, speaking of all the qualifications, first of all, of bishops, he says in verse number 7, "He must have a good report of them which are without." Notice this, "lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil." The devil's got many, many snares to get into your life. Brother Adam, you're the only deacon here tonight, and I appreciate you. And I appreciate the life you live. I appreciate Brother Randall. And then you're true deacons, and I appreciate that. But he goes on, he says, "likewise, deacons," in the next verse right here. As a preacher, you know, and as a deacon, as any position of church leadership, the devil he wants to ensnare you, and he wants to destroy you. He wants to take your testimony. He wants to take your ministry. He wants to bring a reproach upon the church. And he's doing it. He's doing it. He's going to set a snare for you, Brother Adam. He's going to set a snare out there somewhere for me. And, you know, we better be aware of his devices and how he's working. He's vile. He's wicked. He's evil. And he's out to kill, steal, and to destroy. But I got good news. He is an outcast. He is an outcast. Hey, he's got power, but he's not all powerful. Our God is Almighty God, and He has more power than the devil does today. Amen. Jesus said, "Hey, all power in heaven and in earth is given unto me." He has power to defeat the devil. And let me tell you something tonight. We don't have to go defeated in life. We have the power of God upon us. It's at our resources tonight. We have the Word of God. We have the Spirit of God. And we have power to overcome. Amen. He is an outcast. He rebelled. He got lifted up in pride. And he thought he would rise up above, he would rise up above God. He rebelled. Don't get lifted up in pride. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. That's what happened to the devil. He thought he was something. You know, we ought to be an humble people. Because we could be in hell tonight. It ought to humble us when we lived in rebellion. Amen. God was merciful to us. You see, he rebelled. He was rejected. Because sin originated in heaven with him. And God rejected him. God cast him out. And now the devil is a reprobate. He has no hope. He's headed to hell. And he knows that. And he's going to try to destroy and take as many people to hell with him as he can. Why? Because it opposes the will of God. You'll always find the devil in opposition to the will of God. And let me tell you this right here about the devil. You and I have a choice. We can live our lives for the devil, and you'll spend eternity with him. You'll live eternally with him in hell. If you're lost and you decide, well, I'm just going to live my life the way I want to, and do the things that I want to do, reject Christ, and you'll be rejected. You'll spend eternity in hell with the devil. He's an outcast. He is an opposer of everything that is good. He is going to oppose everything that you try to do for God. He wants to distract you from the will of God. He wants to defraud you from the blessings of God. And let me say, a person that's saved and out of the will of God is miserable. A person that's saved and out of the will of God is being defrauded of the blessings, of the joy that God has for you. I know we live in a wicked day and a wicked time, but you can be happy. Amen? You can have joy, even in the day that we live. It's joy unspeakable and full of glory to be saved. And a lot of times we base our happiness upon happenings, upon a bank account, upon a home. But that's not where happiness comes from. That's not where joy comes from. I tell you, joy and rejoicing comes from knowing that your name is written in heaven. And if life were to leave you this day, heaven would grab you up and take you home. That's where joy comes from. Joy comes when you can lay your head down at night and have peace in your heart. Amen. Because we are going to leave this old world one day. The devil is out to distract from the will of God, to defraud from the blessings of God, and to destroy the souls of mankind. I'm glad somebody had a burden for my soul when I was lost. I really believe that somebody was praying for me. My mama. I believe way back I had a granddaddy that was a praying man. Brother David, you did. You had a granddaddy that was a great praying man. My granddaddy died when I was a little old boy. But you know what? I bank on the thought that he prayed for my soul. And he got in touch with God for his grandson. I believe that with all my heart. And so it ought to encourage us to pray for our children. These little old kids that went to class. The ones that's coming up. We got several new births in our church. We ought to be praying for them. This old world's a wicked place. But let me tell you something. Our God is, He can do it all. There's nothing impossible with God. Not only he's an outcast, he's an opposer, but he loves to set obstacles in our Christian life. Let me say this right here. Even to the lost, some of the things that he uses on lost people right here, he's subtle. He takes the Word of God, and we stand upon the King James Bible here at Liberty Baptist Church. We believe it is the Word of God. But let me tell you, the devil is so subtle in the day that we live. Go to a bookstore. Go to a Christian bookstore. And you'll spend a long time trying to find a King James Bible. You'll find every kind of Bible you never even heard of. hundreds of different kind of Bibles, different versions. But I'm glad tonight that we've got the true version, the Word of God tonight. And you don't think the devil is using those different versions? Look what he did to Eve in the garden. Certainly God hadn't said. Certainly God didn't mean this. And the devil and his ministers today are rewriting the Word of God. Taking the blood out, taking the way to God out. He's working overtime, friend. He's deceiving lost people today with the Word of God. He's attacking it in this day that we live. Not only for lost people, he's subtle. He's trying to change the Word of God. And he deceives in the way to God. The Bible over in 1 Timothy 4 and 1 says, "The Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter days that the devil would seduce people with doctrines of devils." Doctrines of devils. And you better be aware, friend. I was talking to Brother Vince this evening. You better know what this Bible says right here. You better know it for yourself. Don't depend on some man standing in a pulpit to tell you the truth. Because there's a lot of deceivers. There's a lot of antichrist that are in the world today that are deceiving people by the multitudes. You ought to know when a man's telling the truth. When a man's standing in a pulpit, you ought to be able to back up what he's preaching by your knowledge of the Word of God. Because there's many, many deceivers that are coming into the world preaching the doctrines of devils, the Bible says, in these latter days. Jesus is the way. He is the truth. And He is the life. And He says, "No man cometh to the Father except by Me." The devil loves religion. Amen. He's got churches. He's got people deceived. He's got lost people thinking that all they got to be is just religious to get to heaven. But let me tell you, Jesus went to Calvary's cross. He shed His life's blood. And if any man's saved today, it'll be by the blood. It'll be through Christ. And another obstacle, worship. I just mentioned religion. You remember that woman? You remember the woman at the well that Christ met? Jesus told her, He said this right here in chapter number 4. He said, "You worship, you know not what." You worship, you know not what. There's a lot of folks like that today. There's a lot of church folk that ain't got a clue about worship because they're lost, just like this woman was lost. Jesus went on and said, "But the hour cometh and now is when true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth." Let me tell you something tonight. Islam is out of hell. Islam is of the devil. Islam is taking billions of people to hell. And any other religion that denies Christ and denies the blood is taking people to hell. I ain't just picking on them folk. But let me tell you something. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He says, "The hour cometh and now is when true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth." You must be born again to have the Spirit of God. And truth is Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And the Father seeketh such to worship Him. God is the Spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. There ain't no worshiping apart from Christ. There is no knowing God apart from Christ. There is no getting to God apart from Christ. He is the mediator between man and God, the man Christ Jesus. Now, for lost people, a lot of folks is lost that are going to a place that they call church, but they know nothing about the God of the Bible and how to worship Him. But what about us as saved people, the devices, the way He deceives saved people? He'll deceive you by compromising in your walk. Amen. There's a lot of wickedness in this world to draw you away from God. And we have an option today. We can walk in light or we can walk in darkness. It's up to us. There ain't no straddle of the fence. You don't walk in light on Sunday morning and walk in darkness on Monday. That don't work. It don't work. He'll get you to compromise. And He is a master at compromise and master at counterfeit. He'll get you to believe and it's okay just to go to church on Sunday. Go to church on maybe on Sunday night every now and then or on Wednesday night. And just go do your own thing the rest of the week. That don't work with God. He's got a lot of folks fooled in their walk with God. They're walking in darkness and not in the light. And then wickedness. I want you to notice something in the book of Isaiah, chapter number 5. The devil, he's wicked. And he's a deceiver with wickedness. Now I want you to notice some woes that are laid out in Isaiah chapter number 5 that Isaiah was prophesying against Israel here and the condition that these people were in at this particular time in history. And it parallels a lot with the world that we live in today. Verse number 8, it says, "Woe unto them that join house to house, that lay field to field, till there be no place, that they may be placed alone in the midst of the earth." You see, woe here because people weren't content with what they had. Man owned a chunk piece of land right here. He wasn't satisfied with that. He wanted the land next to him. He wanted land on this side of him, the land behind. He coveted his neighbor's property, in other words. God said, woe unto them because of uncontentment, never being satisfied. Another woe, verse 11, "Woe unto them that rise up early in the morning, that they may follow strong drink, that continue until night, till wine inflame them." He said in verse 13, "Therefore my people are gone into captivity, because they have no knowledge. Their honorable men are famished, and their multitude dried up with thirst. Therefore hell hath enlarged herself, and opened her mouth without measure, and their glory and their multitude, their pomp. He that rejoiceth shall descend into it." Hell is enlarged. It's getting bigger every day because of the multitudes that's going in there. "Woe unto them that draw iniquity with cords of vanity, and sin as it were with a cart rope." In other words, he's saying right here, woe unto them that promote sin. Woe unto them that profess to be gods, and yet they're promoting sin. They're influencing their neighbor. They're influencing their brother, their sister, their wife, or their husband to say that sin's okay. This is all right. Well, God said, woe unto them. And the devil is a master at compromise and getting people to sin. "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil." We're living in that day, ain't we? Amen. The things that used to be an abomination to people in churches that knew God's Word and what God has to say about sin, it's now accepted. Amen. It's now accepted. "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light, light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." In other words, things get turned around, don't they? You know, the Word of God's hard, but God's right. And God won't compromise. What He said in this book right here will stand when the world's burnt up. "Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight." Man today thinks he's smarter than God. "Woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine, and men of strength to mingle strong drink, which justify the wicked for reward and take away the righteousness of the righteous from him." And he goes on and he pronounces judgment because of these woes. So let me say this, that the devil, the devices he uses is compromise on wickedness. Sin is still sin. And we, as God's people, ought not to compromise. If God says it's wrong, it's wrong. It's still wrong today. And God will never compromise on that. And let me say this. God will even use, I mean, the devil will even use wealth as a device to destroy people. And, you know, I got nothing against people prospering. I'm so thankful that we've got a good group of people that love God and give their tithes and are interested in keeping the house of God going and keeping it beautiful. But let me tell you something. There's been many a life destroyed because of wealth. Now listen, hear what I'm saying now. The devil offered Christ the kingdoms of this world if he would bow down and worship him. There's been a lot of good Christian people that wealth came into their lives and it took them away from God. You see, church, for a lot of folks that's wealthy, church becomes a hindrance. They don't have time anymore. They got to go out and do their things, spending their money and enjoying the things of the world. And there's nothing wrong with that. But you got to keep things in perspective. If the devil can get you away from God, by any means, he's going to do it. But I thank God for this now. He's an outcast. He's an opposer. He'll set obstacles out there to distract you, deceive you, destroy you. But I like this right here. The overcomers in chapter number 12 right here. He says that, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto death. We don't have to be deceived. We don't have to be destroyed. We can't overcome the devil. First of all, we overcome him through the blood. There's power in the blood of Christ. Power to save. And let me tell you something, friend. Any man that denies the blood denies God and knows nothing about him. And the only way to overcome the devil is through the blood of the Lamb. Always has been, always will be. The blood of the Lamb. And notice he says this, and the word of their testimony. A man, woman's boy, a boy or girl, their testimony better line up with this word right here. Amen. Your salvation experience better line up with the Word of God. Amen. That's a good test to see if you know God. To see if your testimony, if your experience of salvation lines up with the Word of God. There's power in a testimony. Amen. I know that I've been born again. I know that my name is written in heaven because I know what happened to me first Sunday morning in March of 1974. Lost and on my way to hell. Holy Ghost conviction was upon me. And when I called out upon God, something came over. There's something that moved inside of me. And let me tell you something, I ain't never got over it. Never got over it. I knowed I was a heartbeat out of hell. Now I know I'm a heartbeat out of heaven. And I got that testimony that lines up with God's Word. It also says that they love not their lives unto death. Talking about people that's dedicated. Talking about people that's bought by the blood. They have the testimony that lines up, a testimony of salvation that lines up with God's Word. And I believe a person that's truly born again realizes they bought with a price. And God has a purpose for their life, then your life belongs to Him. And these, He says that our lives, we ought not to, our lives, if you look in Hebrews chapter number 11, you see people that gave their lives for the cause of Christ. God expects no less out of me and you. He ought to be first in our life. And His will ought to be the main focus of our life. And if we'll give Him that place in life, He'll add all other things to us. He promises that in the Word of God. He wants to be first. He must be first. Not only the overcomers, but the outcome. He says the devil has great wrath. He's raging today. He has great fury. He has great vengeance. But the outcome, I'm glad I've read the Bible. I know what the outcome is. I know he's defeated. He's cast out into earth, but one day he'll be cast into hell. Amen. That's the end of the story. There'll be new heavens and a new earth. There'll be no devil there. You see all the bad things happening in the world today? That's coming to pass. Because the accuser of the brethren, the one that loves death and loves to destroy and kill, he's going to hell. Hell was created for the devil and his angels. He's headed there. By the blood of the Lamb, we don't have to go there. Amen. That's good news, ain't it? He's the deceiver of the whole world. Don't let him deceive you. Are you listening to me? Don't let him put one of his obstacles in your life to destroy you and take away your influence as you journey through this life. Time's precious. Amen? Devil's smart. He knows he ain't got but a short time. You know, we're stupid. I mean, we are. I mean, I know people that's 75, 80 years old, never been saved. Give no thought about eternity, and yet they are rapidly approaching that deadline. Going to cross over into eternity. We better wake up and give our best to God while we've got the ability and able to do so. Amen. All right, I'm done.